Peace through Christ. Of course,
the reference in Luke chapter 2 and verse 24 to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And of course, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he is called the Prince of Peace. And I want to look at four different things about the matter of peace and the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many people, when the emphasis is made about peace, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, skeptics make mockery about the idea of peace on the earth, and that, you know, we don't have peace on the earth, and yet it still talks about peace on the earth. But look at just what it does say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, it doesn't talk about peace all over the earth in the sense that people think of peace as the absence of war or the absence of strife, but it's talking about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And there will come a time when there will be peace on the earth. Now, that won't necessarily be in the millennium. Jesus Christ is going to rule in the millennium, right? He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule. Now, there are going to be people that will have to submit to him and will have to follow what he says, and they're not all automatically going to be excited about that. And so there's going to be a sense in which, you know, everything. So people think about peace, no strife, no disagreement. Everything's just honky-dory. Is that a word you know? Okay, very good. Everything's just going to be fine. But, you know, we think about the millennium. And oh my, we think everything's going to be fine in the millennium. We're happy for the way things are going to be in the millennium, but not everybody in the millennium is going to.
Right.
And so Jesus is going to rule, and there will come a peace, goodwill toward men. Now we'll get into more of this. First of all, Christ made peace. We're looking at four different things. He made peace, he preached peace, he gives peace, and he is our peace. So the first one, Christ made peace. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I could always find Colossians when I was learning those four books of the Bible because it was out of order. See, it's a letter C. It should come first. But Galatians came first. And it wasn't, God just didn't feel it needed to be alphabetized. And therefore, I was always able to remember where Colossians was because it was out of order, the back. You say, well, that's dumb. I know, but that's how it is. And it's just, I usually talk about my dumbness. Other people have dumbness. They just don't usually want to say anything about it. They're smart enough to keep quiet. But I enjoy life. Okay. All right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Speaking of Jesus, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through his blood. Everyone wants peace. World leaders want peace. Church leaders want peace. Parents want peace. Children want peace. People strive for peace through every conceivable means. But Jesus Christ made peace. And when Jesus Christ rules our heart, we will have indeed a more peaceful life. Now, while we're on this earth, We must still contend with the old nature, and therefore we are able to have a more peaceful life. But I would be remiss if I told you that as a Christian, because Christ made peace through his blood, therefore you can achieve a level of living that you'll have only peace. Just isn't going to be so. But we can have a whole lot more peace than what we do. Husbands and wives can have peace, you see. And parents and children can have peace. You can have peace with your employer. See, now that's another aspect. I teased earlier about the minimum wage going up and, you know, thinking now it's all right because I'm on that side of the fence and so on. And I realize all of the issues that have to do with that subject. But you see, peace with your employer. And this is sort of a new experience for me. I was telling the director at the Olean Library that, you know, we got an evaluation, get an annual evaluation. And I was given my evaluation. I needed to sign it and return it, could ask any questions about it. And I thanked her for the opportunity of being evaluated because it helps me to know how to be a better employee. Okay, and you know, I don't have any complaints. I am absolutely happy and satisfied with the work situation that I'm in. You say, you mean, or anything you'd like to have different? No, because if you have the power to make it different, you also have the responsibility for everything. And I'm very happy to go in there, do my job, do what's needed, and then say goodbye and just go home. You see? So I'm very satisfied in the relationship. But, you know, people strive for peace. And they think if they could just have everything their way, if it'd go their way, then everything would be fine for them. But everything they want to go their way is going to upset somebody because that means it can't go their way. We have to learn to live together. And Jesus Christ made peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We know that it involved a sacrifice, the sacrifice on the cross. I remember when a friend of ours erected a Christmas cross. They wanted to emphasize that when Christ was born, it was for the purpose of eventually dying for us. And so one Christmas they erected what they called a Christmas cross. And that was their way of emphasizing that aspect of Christ. Christ made peace. Christ preached peace. Well, now we're going to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He came and preached peace. Christ's message was to the Jew first, we know that from Romans, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And that's not a New Testament message. That was included in the covenant that God made with Abraham, that he was going to create a nation and be a blessing, and through them the whole world would be blessed. Christ's message was to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And the peace of God is available to all. Black and white, young and old, rich and poor, no one needs to be left out. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And that is such an important thought and something that we need to remember. Those who hear the word, those who accept and believe, they can receive the peace of God. When God said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, when we accept Christ, that creates peace. And when we're living as we ought to be living, that means there's going to be peace between us. It is such an absolute shame. Churches that are known because of their bickering and fussing between themselves as people of the church. And how it is that, well, I can tell you one way. How it is that people in the community get to know that the people in that church fuss and bicker. Now, how do they know that if they don't come to church? I'll tell you one of the big ways they know it is that the people in the church, when they're outside of the church, they're running their mouth. Whether it be to a neighbor, or frequently it'll be to a relative. And it might even be a religious relative. And as a result, that word like a cancer spreads.
Yep.
That the people at that church are fighting again. And that's a shame. Because Christ preached peace. And one of the ways that he fulfills Luke 2:14, peace on earth, is that when we are saved and living the way we ought to be living, then we will be at peace with each other. And when we're not able to be at peace with each other, we ought to just be quiet about it. Now that's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do because we have an old nature. And we all like our way. And everybody thinks their way's right. I think my way's right. I mean, when have you ever met somebody and you were discussing with them and they said, well, you know, I think I got the wrong view on that. Or, well, I think my way's wrong, but I'm happy with it. Everybody thinks their way is right. So the problem isn't that we each think our way is the way something ought to be. It's how we go about living it. How we go about holding it. Well, rather, it holds us and creates a problem. And so Christ preached peace. And then Christ gives peace. Okay, now we're looking at John chapter 14 and verse, the Gospel of John, that is, chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. This is an internal peace. This is not a peace based upon things. It's not a peace based upon conditions. It's an internal peace. And our old nature wants to rob us of that. And therefore, we must remind ourselves of what God said about this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I have met a few people through the years. I could count them all in one hand and probably have a couple fingers left over. Of people that they really lived that verse. Mm-hmm. That whatever they faced, they just lived by the peace of God. I mean, the things that they faced, they were not good things. They didn't make them happy to have it, but they just had an absolute confidence that what this verse and others that make these kind of promises, that they lived by them. And you can count on it. Many of those, even though, like I say, maybe only three or four through my life, they were usually made fun of. They were usually mocked. Because the way they lived, they were just so totally at peace with God. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, the peace the world gives isn't real or lasting. And it's usually based on conditions or things, material things. And when a person, when conditions are going the way they like, or when they have the things that they want materially, you see, then everything's peaceful. Everything is fine. Everything's wonderful. And I'm like that. I mean, when things aren't going well, you know, when you take your car to the garage and you find out you're going to have an $800 bill. You know, I don't recall ever saying, "Oh, praise the Lord." And I don't know as we would need to say praise the Lord, but we do, we should not fall apart because of it. Do you notice what I said? We should not fall apart. I'm not standing here trying to tell you how to do it. I'm, as it were, sitting down there with you lamenting how things so frequently are. But they need not be that way. Either what God says is so, and his promises are reliable, or we're just kidding ourselves. And I don't think you or I think we're kidding ourselves. It's just that between this old nature that we have, okay, and how the human nature, you know, somebody thinks, well, that's a human nature, that's the old nature, even more specifically the sin nature. But God's given us a new nature, divine nature, and by that we can look at these things differently. But oh my, we have to just constantly ask God to help us to do that, because it isn't that is not what comes natural. What comes natural is the old nature. but God is able to do different. Now, I want to show you two things about peace. And boy, when I first learned these years ago, they were special. And they've always been that way. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And I want you to hold your finger there, or put a marker there of some sort. Probably your finger would be better. Because after we look at this verse, we're going to go somewhere else. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's referring there, I believe, to salvation. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep yourself there. Mark or some sort, go to Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians, and we're going to look at chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and you keep your place, Romans 5, 1, Philippians 4, 7. What does Philippians 4, 7 say? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now you notice Romans 5:1 talks about peace with God. I believe that's our relationship, our salvation. And then Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace of God. And that's not our relationship in salvation and getting saved, but that's our relationship in our walk with the Lord. And he says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and it'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he tells us in verse 8 what we can do to develop that peace of God. You see, anybody born again has peace with God, but not every born again person has the peace of God. And he tells us we develop that verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Well, yeah, I know that verse. I heard that a lot. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because it's what develops the peace of God. That's our walk with God. And a lot of times we say, oh, I've got the peace with God. I don't understand why things are the way they are. It's because you're not developing the peace of God. That's what passes all understanding and enables us to go through some experiences and not be totally devastated because of it. Do you remember the first time you met a crisis in your life and it didn't totally destroy you? Wasn't that a marvelous thing?
Yeah, amen.
I mean, whether it was a little thing or a big thing, doesn't matter. It's just that first time that you met something and you didn't fall all apart.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I looked back on it. It may have been a couple of days later. And I thought, wow, you know what? I didn't. And I realized, wow, I must be growing. Yeah. It's an evidence of growth and grace. It's a wonderful one. Now, let me quickly close in the fourth thing. Christ is our peace. Christ made peace. Christ preached peace. And Christ gives peace, though we have something to do in nurturing it and developing it in us. But Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 14, we were in chapter 2 earlier. 2:14 says, for he is our peace. He is our peace. To have true peace, we must have Christ. And if we have peace with God, then we have Christ. And we are part of him, and he is in our lives. He is our peace. Peace is not a commodity separate from Christ. If you have peace, it's because you have Christ. If you have growing peace, if your peace of God is growing in your life, then that's because the place of Christ in you is growing. In other words, you can't say, well, I got Christ, I don't have any peace. No, Christ is peace. And if you don't have much peace, then Jesus doesn't have much control. Yeah. That is an eye-opener, huh? And so, if we are to have his peace, he must have us. I know I remember hearing an evangelist one time. He said, you talk about you're accepting Jesus. How about if Jesus is going to accept you? and I know that can be semantics, you know, back and forth. Do you have him? Does he have you? But the bottom line is Christ is our peace. Just like salvation, Christ is our salvation. No Christ, no salvation. But we have peace through Christ. And what the angel said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The goodwill toward men. Let's just say if 80% of the United States of America were truly born again and they lived their relationship in Christ the way they should, do you think we might have peace in this nation?
Come on.
Oh, it would make a mark. Now, we know that's not going to happen. But just think about it. Let's downsize it. If the 55 to 65 people that come here to church, if we each had peace with God and had the peace of God and had peace between ourselves, you say, what do you mean between ourselves? Now you know the same as I do. Somebody says something, somebody does something, you hear something about somebody in the church, and how easy it is to think, well, you know, if they this, if they that. Well, that doesn't surprise me, knowing how, and then off we go with our thoughts about them. That's not peace between each other. That causes strife between each other. And you know, you listen, it's an old way to look at it. But, you know, if you walked in the other guy's shoes, you'd think different. And even if you evaluate that person and you think they've got the tiger by the tail, you know, they've got, you know, everything's just fine for them. If you were walking in their shoes, you might think different. Had opportunity today to give a witness by referring to Dale. When I was talking with my boss at the library, I don't remember what the subject was that we were talking. Oh, I was holding the book. I got that checked out, that book on the King's New Drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And I had just renewed it because I don't read as well as you do. And so, and so I renewed it. And I was standing there holding it. I said, have you ever seen this? She said, no, I never saw that. So I began to give a little synopsis of it. And I said, you know, we got a guy in our church. Gave her a little bit of your background, maybe this much. And then I told her, you know, When the psychiatrist told him there was nothing more they could do for him, I said he began, and we terminology. He began to look at the faith factor in life, and he began to see what God could do for him. And now I said he takes no drugs. And he's as stable as can be. I said he's a hard time getting a job because they look at his background check. And I said, you know, I said, well, you know, pointing to her, I said, if you got an application and it background check showed what it does, I said, you, and she said, yeah. She said, boy, we couldn't do that. We have children all around here and everything and so on. But I got to share faith through your testimony. And so, well, no, we gotta quit. I gotta quit. You're not doing anything but sitting there having to listen. But we're gonna go to prayer at this time. But keep, you say, what's the old saying? Keep the faith, baby.
Yeah.
Keep the peace, baby. Let's go to prayer.